The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take.
Greetings. My name is James Robertson, and I'm here to tell you that the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Greetings. My name is James. Many Robertson. People wonder about the Almighty, the Creator, this one that we mistakenly call God and the Lord. There's a mistaken view that if you lead a good life, you'll end up in heaven. But the Almighty has said, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Think about it. Why on earth would he want somebody to spend the rest of time with him when they don't believe he exists? And if you don't believe he exists, why do you think you should end up there? He goes on to say, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted? Again, think about it. It's nice to think of sitting on thrones in heaven for eternity, but what are you doing to qualify for that? The bottom line is that the Almighty desires friends, and I'm going to tell you more about that in this program every week going forward. So where did it start? First thing, let's just get something quite clear. The true name of the Almighty is not God. It's not the Lord. It is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Yah being Y-A-H, as in Hallelujah, which means praise Yah. There is no equivalent. There is no translation possible of that name. You can transliterate it differently in different languages, but fundamentally it is Yah, and it is pronounced Yah in all languages. Where did we come from? Where did this all start? Well, as his name says, he's eternally self-existing. He's always been here. And so you may say to me, well, that's crazy. How on earth can you believe in a being that's been here forever? Surely he has to come from somewhere. And the answer to that is, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe, but whatever you believe had to come from somewhere. And I find it easier to believe that all the stuff around us where we live came from an eternally existing being who had the intelligence to create it, rather than believing that the stuff all self-invented itself. So consider this. He'd been around for a long time. He'd always been there. And he was lonely. It's as simple as that. And he decided to create companions, highly intelligent beings with emotions comparable to his, beings he could do things with, share with, learn with. But you say he knows all things. Not so. He's constantly learning. He doesn't know what you're going to do in 1 second's time, let alone what you're going to do with the rest of your life, what alone mankind is going to do with this planet in the remaining time of this generation. As he created more sophisticated things, beings, artifacts, so he learned how to create even more sophisticated things. If you let him, he will work with you and learn with you in whatever your work is. Provided, of course, that you're not doing something which is totally abominable in his sight. So in other words, it all started when the Almighty decided that he wanted friends. And unless you have a revelation of the fact that the only reason, the absolutely only reason that you are here is that the Almighty wanted to create friends, you're going to miss the plot. You're going to come to the end of your life and be bitterly disappointed. Do you want to come to that day when your spirit leaves your body to be taken up before the judgment seat and be told that your entire life was a total waste of time? I find that a scary thought. And I would encourage you to be scared by that thought. What are you doing with your life to make a difference, not by man's standards, but by the standards of the one who created you, the standards of the one who created the heavens and the earth, the planets, the suns, the solar systems, the constellations? What are you doing to prove worthy to sit on a high throne with him for eternity? What are you doing to prove that you can be his friend for eternity? If you've never thought about it, now is the time to think about it. I encourage you to take a moment right now and ask you where you are in your relationship with him. Because quite frankly, if you're in the process of indulging yourself in religious fluff and stuff, you might go to church every Sunday. You might celebrate Christmas. You might do all sorts of things. Maybe you've got an email list or a website. But the fact of the matter is that when you cut to the chase, as we'll see in episodes of this program that follow, if you are not fundamentally touching Father's heartstrings, it's all a waste of time. And having said that, if you're going to church on Sunday, you've got it wrong. You're a sinner. The Sabbath is Saturday. If you're observing Christmas, you've got it wrong. You're a sinner. Yeshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, typically around September, October. I could go on and on, but that's not the purpose of tonight's program. I want to sensitize you to the fact that you can become a friend of the Almighty. And I would ask you not to get hung up on what this group says about the color of your skin, and that group says about your racial heritage, and what another group says about your religion, and what another group says about this, and another group says about that, until you're totally confused and you're not even sure if you feature in the Almighty's agenda. The truth is, the only people who feature in the Almighty's agenda are his friends. And those who are seeking to become his friends, those who are seeking to overcome, who are seeking to become victorious over sin, a little further from that, those who are good and faithful servants, a bit further from that, those who are wise stewards. And that's a few hundred thousand people on the planet right now. And frankly, the rest are going to be bitterly disappointed when they die. So let's go back a bit. We've established that the Almighty created us because he wanted friends. So he set out to create an environment for these beings that he was envisaging. So the first thing he did was create the universe. And guess what? He created the universe by way of a Big Bang. And at this point, I need to make the point that the passage in Genesis, which is widely regarded as indicating that the Almighty Creator created all that we have around us in seven periods of 24 hours, is not so. If you go back to the original root Hebrew, The word translated day means an indeterminate period of time. So in seven indeterminate periods of time, the Almighty created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. And he started with the universe with a big bang that exploded material out to create everything that we see in the night sky. And then he shaped that and formed it and steered it and guided it and manipulated it to create constellations and solar systems and planets, seeking always to create a suitable environment for these beings that he was trying to create or planning to create, these friends that he wanted to create. And it may shock you to know that there were many failed experiments which he abandoned. So yes, there are planets all over the universe that are at some level potentially suitable for human habitation. But none of them met the criteria until eventually he created the planet Earth where we live today and found that it was suitable for the intended life form. And eventually the Earth was just right. He then set about populating the Earth. He had to get the climate right. He had to get the atmosphere right. Eventually, he started to create one-cell plants and animals. Progressively, they got more and more sophisticated. And yes, that's right. He followed an evolutionary pattern. He progressively, experimentally created more and more complex plants and animals, seeking to create something or a collection of things that were pleasing to him and would be pleasing to his friends. Folks, the big issue between those who believe in evolution and those who believe in creation is that both groups are totally confused. The people who believe in evolutionary creation, evolutionary development without a creator are confused because it's absolutely impossible for beings and animals and plants of the sophistication of what we have on this planet to have come into existence without an intelligent creative being. And the creationists, the people who Father calls Bible thumpers, who insist that everything was created in 7 days and therefore evolution is not possible, are just as confused. A, because as I've just said, this was not created in 7 days. And B, because we simply cannot simplify things that way. So the ultimate issue, and we'll discuss this hopefully in more detail in a later program, but the ultimate issue of creation versus evolution is that creationists believe that this all came into being magically in 24-hour periods, and the evolutionists believe that something called nature led to the evolutionary development of all this stuff in an experimental, statistical, stochastic way. The explanation I'm giving you is what really happened, as Father has explained it to me, and how I've come to understand it with a fairly good understanding of biology and evolutionary facts, and a deep understanding of the Almighty and the way he does things. And throughout this creation process, those things that really did not work to the liking of the Almighty were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is effectively the incinerator of heaven. They were thrown into the fire, and in an instant they were consumed. It's really important to understand that this is and was an evolutionary progressive process. And as much as it may shock you, the whole thing is an experiment. The Almighty set out to create friends. That's the bottom line. It's the bottom line of my message. It's the bottom line of his message to you today and always. He's looking for people to become his friends. He's looking for people who will live above sin. He's looking for people who will keep all 10 of the 10 commandments faithfully and meticulously all the time. And if you don't cut it, if you don't meet that standard, you're going to be in for a really nasty shock at the end of your life. This is roughly what it looks like. If you die an unbeliever, your spirit will leave your body. You will be taken down to hell, shown the lake of fire. You will be briefly told that you've been lied to and the Almighty does exist. And it'll be explained to you that if the forces of darkness do not win the contest, and more about that in a minute, you will end up in the lake of fire. If you're a believer, you will be taken to heaven where you will be judged, and the story of your life will be read out from the book maintained by your guardian angel, and all your unrepented, unconfessed sin will be brought to your attention. And you will then be sent to hell, a place of torment and correction, where the jailers will punish you for all your unrepented sin, remembering that Yeshua, Jesus, but his name is not Jesus, it's Yeshua, meaning Yah is salvation, died a terrible death so that you could confess and repent of your sins throughout your life. So as a believer, you will be judged for your sin and you will be punished. And it's entirely possible, if you regularly and consistently live a life that is above sin, and where you do sin, repent immediately and call on the blood of the covenant of Yeshua for forgiveness, you can get to heaven without going to hell first. And if you get to heaven, if you're a believer, when you get to heaven and you're judged, you will then be shown what you did for Father in your life. And in the worst case, you'll be sent to the outer darkness, which is essentially the trash heap of heaven, which is pitch black, very cold, very uncomfortable. And in the same way that you disregarded the Almighty all your life, he will disregard you for eternity. If you believed at some level but never received an infilling of the Spirit of the Almighty, you will find yourself in the place, but did not go beyond that. You will find yourself in the place of the foolish virgins, the ones that never really made love to Father in a spiritual sense. If you were filled with the Spirit, but wandered off into false doctrines and false beliefs, which is just about all the believers on the planet today, you will find yourself in the place of the adulterous wives, which is also, as its name implies, not a particularly favored and comfortable spot in heaven. If you do none of these things and you actually manage to serve Father at some level, the next gradation is the place of the wise stewards, those who took what was known to them and applied it faithfully. Still a long way from the throne, but at least you've achieved some recognition for your life. The next step up from that is the good and faithful servants. These are people who've really put in an effort and made a significant difference. There's not a lot of those people on earth today. The next step up is the overcomers, those people who have overcome great adversity, overcome great sin. And they will sit on thrones for eternity. These are people who are receiving real recognition for what they've done. And right now, there's a very small number of those people on the earth today. And finally, They're the friends. And to my knowledge, there are two friends on earth today. And those people will sit on the highest thrones, close to Yeshua. I'm not going to keep telling you that his name is Yeshua, not Jesus. Please take note of it. It's a great sin to call him Jesus. Jesus is a blasphemous name. Yeshua is the most powerful human being in the universe, and it is greatly disrespectful to call him Jesus, and the grace for doing that has been withdrawn. So if you really, really go for it, that's where you could end up as a friend. And as much as Father is pleased to have you there as a wise steward or a good and faithful servant or an overcomer, his real delight is to have you there as a friend. You're going to have to work hard at it if you want to be a friend. You're going to have to lay down a lot of distractions. You're going to have to decide to worship continuously daily. You're going to have to decide not to engage in all the frivolities of life, but spend time serving Father in whatever way comes to you. And in particular, you're going to have to live a life that is free of sin, a life that is respectful of his commandments, respectful of him. Not an easy path. But then what do you want? A happy-go-lucky, happy state on earth? Or do you want to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, come up higher"? Do you want to be welcomed as a friend and esteemed by the whole of heaven? It's a big choice. And if you've never realized before this that there was an option, I would urge you to get in contact with me. I'll give you my email address at the end of this talk. I've got a website, endtimeissueministries.org. There's about 700 pages of articles there. I'm in the process of finalizing a series of about 10 books with all of my writings over 25 years. It's about going on for 5,000 pages. There's a lot of material that I can help you with on this journey. Let's return to creation for a minute. In addition to the universe and planets and plants and animals, the Almighty also created spirit beings. The first spirit that Father created was a super intelligent being who eventually came to earth in the body of Yeshua, lived a life without sin, died a terrible death, and was taken up into heaven to become king of all human kings and lord of all human lords, to become our advocate. The thing to be aware of with regard to Yeshua is that the real miracle of Yeshua is not that he was resurrected. The real miracle of Yeshua is that he lived for 33 and a half years without sin and died a terrible death without sin. And then the reality is that while he left his body in a state that looked like death, he never technically died, because death could not receive him because he had no sin. Death is reserved for people who die with sin. So Yeshua was automatically resurrected. As I say, the miracle was not that he was resurrected. The miracle was that he did not sin once in his entire life. And so Yeshua is the greatest friend of the Almighty. The Almighty went on to create various spirit beings. So you have the tormentors in hell, you have the seraphim and all the other angelic, so-called angelic beings. And he created messengers or angels to do his bidding. And those messengers, those angels, and again, I'm not going to keep correcting, angels is not an accurate word. They're messengers. They're created to serve us. They're created to serve the Almighty. Some of them have the ability to manifest with a human-like body. It's not a human body. It has no genitals. It is not capable of sexual reproduction, and it is not capable of copulation with human beings. There's a widespread lie that satanic messengers, angels, manifested on earth, copulated with women, and gave birth to satanic bloodlines on earth. It's just not true. It's not technically possible. And if you're one of the people who mistakenly believes that, I would suggest that it's in your interests to change what you believe. And then finally, after all the creation of all the plants and all the animals and all the spirit beings, all the messengers, Father created human beings. Super intelligent beings with reasoning, with emotions, beings that were creative. He created us, and when he created us, we had great stature and great beauty. We've degenerated a lot since then. Archaeological finds evidence that at the time of Noah, which is about 1,500 years after Adam, human beings were still about 18 feet tall. And there's every reason to believe that they were super intelligent. And you can see that in some of the remains of ancient cities, like the pyramids in Egypt and other places like that. Super intelligent beings, super intelligent, super capable engineers, super capable in every area. They knew no originally. They knew no illness. They knew no deformity. All of those things came subsequently as a result of their sin. As I said to you, this whole creation process took place in what one might call an experimental form. Father had never done this before. He had conducted previous experiments which had not produced the results he'd liked, so he'd either destroyed or abandoned them, depending on whether they were planets or whatever. And then he created planet Earth. He created, or was on the point of creating, human beings. And something went horribly wrong. He created billions of messengers, angels, to help him with the final stages of creation and also to serve the human beings that he was about to create. There were three forces of armies, if you like, of messengers. Gabriel, Michael, and Hillel were the commanders of those three. Hillel became proud. He was also known as the Light Bearer. He became proud. He rebelled against the Almighty, and he fell, taking one-third of the messengers with him. He was a failed experiment. The Almighty, as he was wont to do with failed experiments, was about to have them cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, the incinerator, when Satan, as he then became, formerly Hillel, challenged him and said, "You put me and my army on planet Earth with this being that you're going to create, and I will lead that being so astray that at the end of 7,000 years, there will not be a single human being that believes you exist, let alone a human being that is serving you." And Father has said to me that he was so angry with Hillel that he accepted the challenge. He said, "Right, I'll cast you down to heaven, down to earth. But be aware that if at the end of the 7,000 years you have failed, you will then be cast into the lake of fire and all those who follow you. And if you succeed, I will withdraw from earth, and you and those who follow you will reign on earth forever. So Satan thought he'd got a pretty good deal, because the earth was a really attractive place in those days before the flood, and it all got mashed up. And so they went on with the challenge. Father created human beings. He created Adam and Lilith by a miraculous creative process, in the same way that he'd created all the other plants and animals. Lilith very quickly ran away after serving Satan and was rejected. And Father then created Eve, more accurately Chava, C-H-A-V-A-H. And you know what happened there? She was distracted by Satan, ate the fruit, whatever it was. It really doesn't matter whether it was an apple or whatever. The fact of the matter was, the relevant point was they were told not to eat it, and they did eat it. And so they became rebellious, and they became Satan's servants. And that's a really important thing to realize, people. If you sin, no matter how little the sin, you become a servant of Satan, and at some level cease to be a servant of the Almighty. Because no man can serve two masters. So my message to you about friendship and sanctification and living life above sin is not a trivial message. Do you want to come to the end of your life and find that you are classed as a servant of Satan because you worked on the Sabbath, because you celebrated Christmas, because you called the Almighty God or the Lord, you called Yeshua Jesus, because you worshipped the Bible, you didn't honor your parents, you cursed your parents and so became a murderer, you practiced abortion or endorsed abortion, and so on and so on and so on. So the brutal truth is that virtually the entire planet is serving Satan, even those who at some level are attempting to serve the Almighty. And so Satan came to earth and became the accuser of the brethren, the one who goes before, and he and his cohorts go before the throne of heaven and bring accusations against them. Coming back to the contest, Satan challenged the Almighty to a contest to prove that he could totally corrupt mankind in 7,000 years. And several times he has come close to total success, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. So we embarked from Adam on a journey of just over 6,000 years. We are now 6,015 years from creation. And that was marked by progressive degradation, progressive falling away, apostasy, if you like, punctuated at intervals with men who turned the tide. Men that Father calls turnaround prophets or turnaround emissaries, emissary being the correct term for an apostle. And strictly speaking, a prophet is simply a spokesman, and prophet is a pretty meaningless word, actually. It's just that widely understood that way. So 1,500 years from creation, roughly, we find a man called Noah, who is grieved by the sin of humankind, cries out to the Almighty, says to the Almighty, what would you like to do? And the Almighty says, I would like to flood the earth, drown all these people, and utterly destroy everything that's been created. Noah says, that's fine, I'll pray and ask for that to happen. Because the Almighty can do nothing on earth, ladies and gentlemen, except it is commanded by a human being. Father gave all authority on earth to human beings. Mankind then fell, and Adam gave that authority to Satan. Yeshua regained that authority and immediately gave it back to those who believed in the Almighty through their covenant with Yeshua. So there's no ways that the Almighty could destroy the earth at the time of Noah without Noah's full consent and full foreknowledge. So Noah must have prayed a prayer something like, Father, I ask you to flood this planet and totally destroy this population of unbelievers and sinners. How did it happen? If you're interested in what I'm about to say, there's a series of DVDs available, and there's also a YouTube site called Proof of Global Flood, where you will find a series of videos on this topic. The Almighty deflected an ice comet from the outer regions of the solar system and directed that comet to strike the earth. And when I say directed, all I'm saying is that he used the super powerful, most senior messengers, angels, to just nudge that comet in the right direction. There was nothing particularly miraculous about it. It struck the earth, it knocked the earth off its axis, it knocked the earth in such a way that it distorted its orbit around the sun, it impacted the moon, and the size of the ice comet was such that when it hit the earth and disintegrated, it melted and covered the surface of the earth to a depth of what was probably several kilometers of water. At that time, the earth had a very uniform climate and a very uniform topography. The impact of the comet resulted in massive dislocation of the surface of the earth, and that resulted in all the volcanoes, all the faults, all the rift valleys. It resulted in the separation of the continents, and eventually, through complex factors affecting the core of the earth expanded and the water drained off the continents, giving us what we have today. And so that was the first turnaround prophet, Noah. Out of Noah came three sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. Shem was a believer in the Almighty like his father and went on to become a faithful servant. And the three mainstream monotheistic religions flow from Shem. That's Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Japheth was an idolater. He worshipped the works of his hands, very talented. Out of Shem, before I forget, out of Shem came the Central Asian people, so the Arabs, the Israelis, the Jews, the Europeans, the Russians, and so forth. And there's some complexity around that that we'll talk about possibly in another program. Out of Japheth came the East Asians, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Koreans, etc. And the third son, Ham, the youngest, was an ancestor worshipper, a demon worshipper. And out of him came the African people, many of the African people, and some other tribes around the world. Those three tribes are still discernible today. They have very distinct physical characteristics, although through inbreeding those have become a bit masked. But essentially they've remained that the Shemites tend to be worshippers of the Almighty. The Japhethites tend to be idolaters, and the Hamites tend to be ancestor worshippers. Again, I want to make the point that I made early on in this program. It matters not a jot whether you, listening to this program today, are technically Shem, Japheth, or Ham. It is entirely possible for you to become a friend of the Almighty. Contrary to what a lot of people believe, Father is race blind. Skin color is a function of melanin buildup in the skin as a result of exposure to the sun. So people who live in very sunny, hot climates, spend a lot of time outside in the sun, develop genetically over generations very dark skins, and people who live in climates which are cold and temperate and overcast, and where they have to dress up warmly and be inside most of the time, develop very fair skins. You take a person with a fair skin and put them in the middle of Africa and let them live the life of the middle of Africa, and in a few generations their children will have dark skin. In fact, there are children of there are Shemites who fled Israel at the time of the Babylonian exile and took up residence in North Africa, in Nigeria. And today they're recognized as an African tribe because they have dark skin, but they have Shemite features. All things being equal, Father tends to work through Shemites, but that's not really the point right now. We'll talk perhaps about that again at a later date. We're talking about turnaround prophets. The next major turnaround prophet was Moshe, Moses, and Egypt. And out of that came Israel, and out of that came Judaism. And so there was a turning around then, but a much more modest turning around than at the time of Noah. The next major turnaround prophet was Yeshua, Jesus, which gave rise effectively to Christianity. Again, a microcosm of the total planet turning around there. But that turnaround has sustained at some level through to the present. The next turnaround prophet was Muhammad, 600 years after Yeshua, because Christianity had become apostate and full of error. And that led to Islam. And finally, a few hundred years ago, Martin Luther, leading to Protestant Christianity. Now, each of those men developed an intense relationship with the Almighty, an intense awareness of the things of the Almighty, and led their people, or led those people who were willing to be led, back to relationship with the Almighty. And each time the wave has been smaller, each time the duration of the turnaround has been less. And today we're facing a situation where the world is apostate. The majority of the people who call themselves believers are not believers. And it's time for another turning around. In fact, a turning around has started, but it's not really visible. So where are we now? As I said, there has been a turning around. On the 3rd of May 2003, the Court of Heaven was convened. Satan was bound by Michael and Gabriel, the two archangels, archmessengers, brought before the court. The charges against Satan for all the sins he had created against human, he had committed against human beings, all the leading astray of human beings were read out to the court, and a 1,000-year sentence in the pit was granted. He was bound by Michael and Gabriel and cast into the pit for 1,000 years. I know that because I prayed those prayers. I convened the court of heaven. And so that began a turning around, which hopefully will gather momentum and last for 1,000 years. And the opportunity today for you listening to this program is to become a person who contributes to this turning around, a person who becomes a friend and goes all out to see that all the Almighty wins the contest. As a consequence, or as a necessary precursor to sentencing Satan to the pit, the Almighty had to withdraw all grace for all sin on the planet. So prior to the 3rd of May 2003, you could get away with calling the Almighty God and the Lord, calling Yeshua Jesus, playing around on Christmas Day, playing around on Halloween, etc. All grace for that had to be withdrawn before Satan can be sentenced. And so the consequence of that is there has been a massive falling away over the last 15 years, maybe a bit longer because the grace was largely withdrawn in at the beginning of 2001. The challenge now is for some remnant to endure to the end of the millennium, to 3003, around about May. The challenge is for that remnant to endure sufficiently that at the very least there is one friend in 3003, 985 years from now. There has to be a friend. There has to be a man or woman who is totally free of sin to call on the court of heaven to judge Satan and cast Satan and all his followers into the lake of fire and brimstone to be utterly destroyed. And it is absolutely vital to know, no matter what you've been told, no matter what you've believed, that in the event that there is not even one friend at that point, Yah will lose the contest. He will remove whatever believers there may be on the planet from the planet, and he will then withdraw from the planet and hand the planet Earth over to Satan and his cohorts forever, including the well over 100 billion human spirits, ancestor spirits, demons, who will populate the planet at that stage. At this point in time, there's over 100 billion ancestor spirits. It's 100 billion human beings who have died without believing in the Almighty. And those people are in for a pretty rough ride. When the Almighty withdraws from Earth, it's written, in Him we live and move and have our being. When the Almighty withdraws from Earth, the entire spiritual infrastructure that maintains life on Earth will cease. Every living thing, every plant, every animal, every human being will die instantly. The human spirits will have no way of getting around, so they will be stuck on their corpses. The only ones that can get around will be those senior ones who've got messengers, satanic messengers allocated to them, who will be able to travel around. And there will be nothing left for them to do but for the demons and fallen messengers to fight amongst themselves for eternity. So frankly, if you're an unbeliever and you're listening to this program, I have to tell you, you've got a pretty dim future. It's worthwhile believing and sorting out your life and seeking to become a friend, because frankly, the alternative is too ghastly to contemplate. Where do you stand? I challenge you today. Where do you stand? Do you believe, sort of, maybe? Do you believe quite deeply, but you've never really understood that you have the option of qualifying for a high throne? That you've never really understood that if you have unrepented sin at the time you die, you will go to hell to pay the price for your unrepented sin? And it's going to be pretty darn horrible there. On the website, you'll see a web page called Hell with some paintings made by a young Korean girl who went to hell. It's pretty horrible stuff, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to go there. So it's time to clean up your life now so you don't have to pay the price later. And if you sort of the mind to say, oh, but God is so good, He wouldn't do that, you've missed the point. It's got nothing to do with the Almighty being good. It's got everything to do that this is a manufacturing process intended to create friends. And if you're not going to feature on that scale and at least be a good and faithful servant or a wise steward or an overcomer, this whole life is a pretty miserable waste of time. If you're taking me seriously, you may be asking, what do you do now? I'd like to spend a few minutes discussing what you can potentially do. If you go to my website, and that's www.endtimeissueministries.org, all one word, so it's endtimeissueministries.org. Behind the homepage, so if you hover your mouse over the home menu item in the top left-hand corner, you will find a number of documents. The first document is called The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You. It's about a 16-page article which goes into some of the stuff that I've talked about here, and just lays a foundation. The second document is called Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator. This is about 70 pages. It was written at a time I was walking under quite a close anointing in the time of the Day of Atonement in 2014, where I sat down and systematically documented pretty much everything that I knew at that point in terms of sanctifying oneself, in terms of dealing with sin, in terms of dealing with demons, in terms of dealing with bloodline curses, in terms of pretty much everything that you can possibly need to know in order to get close to the Almighty. There's a whole range of prayers you can pray. And if you take that document and study it and apply it consistently over a number of years, I am very confident that you will get very much closer to the Almighty. Amen.